We're asking this question in the series, what if you could fear less and what if you could faith more? And we've kind of pointed out the fact that for many of us, fear is a reality. Either it's been a lifelong struggle or we're in a season of struggle or it's just a specific situation that has introduced fear. And what we're saying throughout this series is if you struggle with fear, anxiety, worry, the way forward is faith. And if you don't struggle with fear, worry, and anxiety, the way forward in your story is faith. This is a series about fear and faith, and we're talking about the idea that both of these words can be thought of as a noun, something you have, and a verb, something you do. Your faith is something I hope that you have. It's a noun. It's something you have, you hold on to. Hopefully you're building it over time. But ultimately, faith will always lead to expression, to action. And it's a verb. It's something you do. Both are necessary. Fear is a noun. It is something that many of us is a very real experience. For one reason or the other, we have this noun, this experience of fear. But it doesn't have to be our verb. It doesn't have to be the choices we make of how we will live. And I say that as one who admittedly struggles with fear and have my whole life. What we're encouraging us to do is really figure out what does it look like to fear less and faith more. And last week we talked about different things that God uses to grow our faith. And the fifth thing, five things last week, the last one was this thing called pivotal circumstances. These situations of life that we don't always plan, but they show up and God uses those as invitations to really let God build our faith in Him, not just our faith in the fact that it'll all work out. Many of us, we want to put our faith and our hope in, it'll just work out. But God is inviting us to instead say, would you just put your faith in me and trust me with how this goes? Pivotal circumstances are these things that God uses everyday moments to build our faith because He wants a relationship with us every day. So every moment of every day is an opportunity where I think God is asking, in this moment, what does it look like for you to fear less right here? What does it look like for you in this moment to faith more? Because what He's doing is He's not just building our faith, but He's building our relationship. Really, that's what faith is. It's our trust in this relationship we have with Him that shows up and expresses itself. And in the Gospels, actually, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. If you don't have it, I'll share it with you. But in Mark chapter 4, one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four books of the Old Testament or New Testament, all kind of are different perspectives on the life of Jesus. And in these, what you find is this is really what Jesus is doing with His disciples. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that means you're a disciple too. A disciple means a learner and follower of Jesus. If that's who you are, Jesus is going to do the same thing with you. What you read that Jesus does with His disciples is He doesn't just teach them about faith, but He puts them in situations, in pivotal circumstances that are really invitations to fear less and faith more. Faith-building experiences. And I want to read one to you today. And if you've ever read the Bible before, you probably have read this passage, this story. It's very familiar. The problem when a story is familiar, we just kind of take it for granted. We don't think about the impact of what's going on with all the people in it. And so I want to read it for you today, and I'm going to ask for a little help from audio and lights to kind of set the tone a little bit as I read through the story. And I want you to picture as Jesus is out on this boat with His disciples that you're in the boat too, that you're out there and what you're feeling and experiencing is what the disciples are experiencing. Picture yourself there, not in a room where you're nice, safe, and sound, but you're out on the open water when suddenly there's a pivotal circumstance. Here's what it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and following. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there? Now, storms always have a chance of kind of introducing kind of little fear, anxiety. That's why in a lot of movies, if there's a scene going on, even if it's not a horror movie, a little thunder and lightning in the background kind of sets the tone. It can introduce fear. Now, these guys are on open water in a boat, and they were fishermen, some of them. They had spent their lives on water in boats and around storms. And where they were, this region, storms would kind of come up over this little depressed little region where this lake was, and it would come in really quick without warning and pretty intense. So they've been in these before. So this was enough where either they knew what this kind of storm could do, or this was bigger than a normal storm and they were worried. And the point of this story is not the next time you're in a storm, on a boat, on a lake, see if Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat and wake him up. It's not the point of this story. But there is a point here that's very relevant, that the next time you find yourself in a pivotal circumstance, there are four questions asked in this passage that are very, very important for helping us know how to fear less and faith more. First question is this. The disciples say, the storm's going on, they wake him up and say, "Don't you care?" And chances are you have been in somewhere in life where something happened. You got a report, you got news, you found out something happened, somebody did something, and you thought, "God, you knew this was coming. You know what's going on, I think. Don't you care?" Does God care? Is there a God? Are some of the questions it might kind of prompt. I don't know if you've ever asked that kind of question or felt that way. I know many have. And in the story, as it's being told, of this real life account that happened, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. How many of you in the room can sleep through anything? Anybody like that? Yeah, I'm not. I'm a pretty light sleeper. How many of you are sleeping right now? Anybody? I have that effect on people, so I get it. I get it. Thank you. I see that hand. So if you're asleep, how did you? Anyway. Give it a minute. I'll put you to sleep. Jesus is sleeping. Why is he sleeping? I think this is intentional. One, I think he knew it was going to work out, so maybe that's it. I think maybe he was anticipating his disciples waking him up with panicked questions. Maybe he was waiting for them. Maybe he was actually back there with kind of one eye open, kind of going, come on. Maybe even saying, "Okay, let's increase the volume of the storm. Let's increase the waves. They're not there yet." He puts them in this experience, this pivotal circumstance, where he wants to build their noun, the faith, and let them choose to verb, to express faith in the middle of the storm. And their response is to ask this question, "Don't you care?" And I think the great thing is that God never seems to turn people away that have questions. Questions are okay. And in life, what we want to know is, does God care? Can he help? And will he help? And in life, just like we want to know, does he care? In life, I think he wants us to know he cares. You matter. You're on his radar. He's with you. And his primary agenda in your life, I believe, is to grow your faith. This trust relationship with him. The storm isn't evidence that he doesn't care. It's actually evidence that he does. So much so that he wants to put them in situations where they know that they can trust him. Why does it take a storm sometimes for us to focus on Christ? I'm kind of that way. If things are good, I can be less attentive to God and what he's doing in my life. I don't seek him as much. I don't cry out as much. I don't feel as dependent. Storms have a way of leading us to him, pointing us to him, to where we seek God, we connect with him. And what it does is it builds trust. And I really think this is what we talked about last week, that storms in life and circumstances in life, they're interruptions, is how we see them, but they're actually invitations to fear less and faith more. And if we just changed our perspective that when something is going, in our, we'd say going wrong or going poorly or going bad, maybe that really in that moment God is saying, this isn't necessarily something I think is good, but I know that it can be good for your faith. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? But the reality is storms scare us quite a lot. This is a picture of us at Disneyland. This is a good picture of my family at an amusement park. My son's in the front, John. We adopted him from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and he's pretty fearless when it comes to rides. He is smiling, he's happy. In the back is my wife there. She's smiling, happy-go-lucky. She doesn't typically get frayed on stuff like that. There's me, I'm an idiot. And then over my shoulder is my daughter, Gracia. Here's a kind of a fuzzy blow-up of her picture. This is a ride called Splash Mountain. Anyone ever ridden Splash Mountain? It's a fun ride. It kind of tells the story of an old Disney movie that they won't ever play anymore for some certain reasons, but it's the song of the South, and it's zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay, my oh my, what a wonderful day is the song that's kind of playing all the way through, so it's kind of happy, but it's Brer Fox and Brer Bear chasing Brer Rabbit, and eventually you go through this thing, and it's happy music and bright colors. Occasionally it's dark, but it's never really that scary, but it plays on the anticipation that any minute, what you saw on the outside is you're about to go this huge drop down in this kind of log ride kind of thing, and with a huge splash, and it kind of plays on anticipation. She'd never been on that ride before. She was scared to death. Then right after this, oh, don't show it yet, we went on a ride called the Tower of Terror. Anyone ever ridden that one? It's based on a Twilight Zone episode where it's from the minute you, even walking up, it's creepy, dark lighting, eerie, and you kind of go through, and it's Rod Serling and the Twilight Zone kind of introduces the concept. If you're going to get in this service elevator, and then it's going to drop you down, and then they beefed it up where they drop you down, shoot you up, drop you down, shoot you up, and drop you down, and it's all with spooky lighting and stuff like this. This is her on that, that girl on the very next thing ride we rode was this ride. Now look at her face. Oh, it's not there. I'm sorry. Okay. Can you see her face right in the middle? She's smiling. She's never ridden this ride before either. And it's scarier. Like, I was the one crying going, hey, are we sure we want to do this? No, I'm just kidding. I like it. But there's John, happy face. There's Jennifer, happy face. And now there's Gracia. Compare that with the previous ride. What changed? There's one thing I want you to notice about this. Do you see what she's doing with her arms? She has one locked around my wife. She has one locked around me. And my words to her, actually they were the same words on Splash Mountain, but she didn't believe me, was, hey, we'll be with you. But notice in that ride, we're sitting single file, and she can't quite lock on and feel like she's in a sandwich there. But also, what I was able to tell her is, Gracia, I've done this before. I know how this is going to turn out. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. And she said, well, you were right with that last one. And now, she loves to ride Splash Mountain. She won't ride the Tower of Terror anymore. So it was a one-time experience. But she was smiling. She was smiling. But there was something about knowing that we were actually with her. She could hold on to us. And the thing about storms when they kind of show up is, have you ever used the phrase, boy, I was in the middle of this really difficult situation, and then all of a sudden, God showed up. Can I tell you that he's been there the whole time? For me, it's just sometimes I'm not looking. I don't look around, and instead of saying, okay, right in the middle of this, God's with me, right? So where is he? So I know I can grab onto him. But over time and experience, it shapes our faith. Joshua 1:9 is the verse we're kind of using in this series. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you. This is the primary promise of the Bible, of God's desire to be with us. That trust relationship is broken in the beginning, and ever since then, he's saying, I want to fix the relationship. I want to fix what's broken, which is a trust relationship. Sin had to be paid for. He's done that at the cross. Everything else is trying him to build trust in us, that we can faith more. Storms have a way of introducing this idea that there is a God and it's not me. Because we can build lives where we feel like we're in control. And the minute we lose control, we say, God, where are you? And we start looking for him. Storms remind us that there is a God and I'm not him, but he is my friend. I matter and he cares about my faith. Can I just tell you, in your situations, he's with you. When you give your life to him, he is with you. And he's building your faith. The second questions that are asked, actually the second and third questions, first one was asked by the disciples. Don't you care? The second and third question was asked by Jesus to the disciples. It said this: why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And he asked questions regarding fear and faith. Basically, he's asking the question we're asking: why do you fear more and faith less? And what would it look like you for to fear less and faith more? Why are you doing it backwards? And that's an important diagnostic question you've got to figure out for yourself. In your life, why do you fear more? Why do you faith less? What's going on? Is it control? Is it being overwhelmed by circumstances? What's driving your fear here? And what we're challenging you to do in this series is to name that fear. And I had somebody go, okay, well, I named my fear. I go, okay, what is it? Named it Henry. I was like, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Like, they were kidding, of course. But they're like, no, here's my fear. And what I love is a lot of you on the Live Oak app or the website have used the my fear is and submitted those. Man, I am humbled to be with some of you who I know right now are walking through fear and saying, I want to fear less and faith more, knowing what some of you are dealing with. And I'm so proud of you. And those on the video who are being willing to be vulnerable and say, here's my fear. Well, it's encouraging for me to hear those, but it's important for us to name those to say, this is the thing that's standing between me and faithing more, trusting him more. This is the problem. This is the issue. And this week, what I would challenge you to do is in every situation, storm or sunny, high or low, normal day, average day, whatever it is, in every situation, ask yourself the question, what would it look like to fear less and faith more in this specific situation, or in this specific relationship, or in this specific financial transaction, or in this specific place? Get specific and ask yourself, what would it look like in this specifically to fear less and faith more? And again, I don't think you can control your emotions. Now, you can feed them. And just like a stray, if you feed fear, it'll come back. If you feed faith, it'll grow bigger. But when fear shows up, for some of us, we can't control that. There's no forecast to say, hey, today, by the way, around 3 p.m., fear's showing up. Anxiety's going to make an appointment and just be here, so just prepare. It just shows up. And a lot of times, the noun, fear, just shows up. But the choice, fear, verb, is something we can have some control over. But it's not easy. What I think is great with these questions, Jesus didn't say, and now it's time for you guys to walk the plank. I mean, they're on a boat. He could have just thrown them overboard. Said you're a bunch of knuckleheads and cast them off. He didn't, because his goal here isn't to say, you failed, you're out. His goal here to say is, I want to help you faith more. I want you to experience and know me that I can be trusted. It's not so much about us getting our faith muscles built. It's a thing to grow our faith. But what he wants is a relationship with us that we know that he can be trusted. He kept building trust between them, putting them in experiences where they could fear less or faith more. And they didn't always make the right choice, but he did not turn his back on them. And their experience led them to ask this question of Jesus. Who is this? In this situation, God unmistakably showed up and did something that they were terrified. What just happened? I mean, what are the odds that just as he wakes up, when I wake up, I can't even speak coherently. Just when he wakes up, he looks at the wind and says, quiet, be still. And it does. I can't get my dog to do that. At that point, they're like, wow, what are the odds that would happen at that exact moment? Who is this? I think they knew. See, this is really the ultimate question we have to ask and answer. Who is Jesus? You ask that at any stage in life and at any point of your spiritual journey. Who is Jesus to me? Who is he going to be to me? Who is he really matters, but also who is he going to be in my life? And what we typically want to do is, instead of asking that question, who is Jesus in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of fear, in the middle of adversity, what we want to ask is, what's happening with the storm? I want to turn into the Weather Channel. Help me understand this storm. I want to find statistics of what's the likelihood of a storm showing up today. I want to know more about the storm. But what if the key to when you're surviving a storm by fearing less and faithing more, what if it's not knowing more about the storm? What if it's this? What if the key to fearing less is not knowing more about the storm, but knowing Jesus more? Not knowing more about Jesus. Because that's just theory. That's just knowledge. Knowing Jesus more means relationship, experience. I know Jesus can be trusted because of what I've experienced in my own life. I know it to be true. I didn't just read it in the Bible. I've experienced it in my life. Both are necessary. Faith is a noun you've got to build and have. But it's also a verb you have to express. And knowing Jesus is an action that we all have to take. And what we experience sometimes, in this case, Jesus says, quiet, be still to the storm. Most of us have experienced, and the disciples would experience this truth too in their life. He doesn't always say that to the storm. Sometimes he says it to us. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms the storm of fear in us as the storm outside goes on. But faith is uniquely built in storms. Faith is uniquely built in circumstances where I'm in over my head, where I cannot control the situation. So in the middle of the storm, if I can learn to step back and say, God, in this moment, I want to fear less and faith more. God, I believe you're here, and you've been here the whole time, and that you are with me. And then I think a key shift that many of us need to make, and this especially if you don't struggle with fear, I think this is important. This should be a focus all the time. This isn't just storm preparation. This isn't just tornado drill kind of stuff. Every day and every situation in your life is an opportunity to faith more. Because faith is built in everyday moments. When I was working on my master's degree in seminary, I had two friends. It was a very international kind of cohort that we went through our degree together. And I had a friend from Singapore and a friend from Romania that were in there. And we were at 2 weeks together in Colorado Springs. And one weekend I had a car and they said, hey, we really want to go see something. And I'm just saying, please don't say a mountain or hiking. And they said, no, we want to go to the Apple store. I was like, I'm in. It's not a mountain. I'm good. I don't do hiking, but let's go to the Apple store. So we go to the Apple store. The Apple store is genius. How many of you guys use Apple products? Who are the godly among us? Yeah, very good. Awesome. Here's the great thing about the Apple store. They're brilliant. Because when you go in an Apple store, you don't just see it behind glass. It's laying out for you to pick up and touch and use. And there's, if it was an iPhone, there would be like 8 or 10 of them all in a row. And then there's iPads. And then there's MacBooks and MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs. All their products are out for you to get your hands on and use them. Because you know what Apple knows about us? If we can't experience it personally, we're probably not going to latch on to it. So what they know is say, here, we want you to experience this personally. Because we think that'll help you buy in. Jesus knows the same thing. I can teach my disciples about faith and fear. But I need to put them in a boat. It was his idea. And put them out in the middle of a storm. And then I need to take a nap. So they look back and their first instinct is, you must not care. But the reality is he cares so deeply that he wants them to get their hands on faith. And experience it personally and talk about it, because faith is a hands-on experience. It's a noun. You've got to have it and build it, but it's something you've got to do. Your faith will not grow beyond your willingness to step out and trust God. It doesn't grow in safe harbors. So God says, can I put you in a situation that's over your head? And that's what we do as parents. We put our kids on roller coasters. Do you trust me? We traveled together a couple times, just he and I, and one time we actually had him fly by himself on Southwest because I was kind of traveling and I was kind of missing him. I thought, I want him to experience flying alone. that might be bad for the airline, but it'll be great for my son. And so we did the kind of unaccompanied minor thing, and he flew from Lubbock to Dallas, and Jennifer dropped him off here, and I met him there. And it was, I wanted to have those experiences because I know it will build kind of the real experience of life, having to navigate and kind of be responsible. And coming back, when I was traveling with him, I said, as soon as we got to the airport, I said, John, I want you to give me directions. We're supposed to get up at gate 9. You get us there. Where do we go? We have our tickets, but you got to figure out where to go. We have to go through security. That's all I told him. And then he navigated through the airport. He only made one wrong turn. Because I know if I could just tell him about how to navigate life or travel, he might learn something. But if you experience it, if you're immersed in it, it does something. This is what God is doing in your faith. For those of you who are going through a fearful situation, I want to give you a prayer that I think could be very helpful and an exercise that for many of you, you've got to name it. You've got to name your fear. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. When I fear more and faith less, I want to flip that, fear less and faith more. In God, whose word I praise, means he can trust his word. In God, I trust, and I am not afraid. I may experience the noun, but I'm not going to verb. Afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Here's a way to take that psalm and personalize it, which could be very helpful for some of you. My fearless prayer. Lord, when I am afraid of what? Fill in the blank. Failure was a big player for the people in the videos. It's a big player for me. When I'm afraid of a certain circumstance, a certain situation, when I'm experiencing a very real fear, when I am afraid, I will trust God and am not afraid. Lord, when I'm afraid of whatever it is, I will trust in you. Amen. I encourage you to take that and fill in the blank. What is it for you? Where is it that you're fearing more? And again, for some of you, you're like, I just am not a very fearful person. Okay, but faith is still the way forward. What would it look like for you to trust God completely with your family, with your relationships, with your finances, with your sexuality, with your parenting, with your work, with your fear, or with your confidence to say there is a God and it's not me? Because of the cross, I know that he wants to be my friend and he's made that possible. I choose to fear less and faith more. And when I am afraid of this, whatever it is, I will trust in you. What I want you to do is pray this prayer for your life. And then to figure out specifically, what does it look like for you to trust God in your specific moments and situations? Everybody has a next step. And the ones that you're kind of afraid of might be the best ones for you. The circumstances aren't good, but God says, I can use this in a good way to build your faith. I want to remind you again that we have these series resources on the Live Oak app and the website. There's the reading plans on there, audio and video of messages if you want to listen or watch. There's that area where you can name your fear, and I'm so thankful you guys are doing that, because what it does is helps us know how to pray for you, and you can do it anonymously, or you can put your name on it, but what it also does is help us know, hey, boy, this is a common theme. We should probably see what God has to say about that and talk about it in the future at Live Oak. Let's talk about what God has to say about these things. There's also a Spotify link where you can listen to the playlist we play before services, but I encourage you to name your fear. It's helpful to name it on the app. It's critical you name it in your life. And if you could go back to that Psalm verse again, that last slide, previous slide. We're just going to leave that up as we close here today. And I'd just like you to stand for closing prayer. And I encourage you silently as I pray out loud to pray this prayer in your life. Name it. Name what you're afraid of. And then go a step further and name what it looks like for you specifically to take a step of trust. Heavenly Father, when I am afraid of failing as a parent, when I'm afraid of not leading the way I need to lead, providing the way I need to provide, when I'm afraid of whatever comes my way, I will trust you I won't be afraid. I won't verb. I won't take action that way. I will choose as best I can, with your help, take steps to trust you and to follow you. Thanks for the things in my life that you've used to build my faith, and there's some of them I was not giving thanks for at the time. Thanks that you were with me, and that when our heart breaks in some of these situations, your heart breaks for us. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. We trust that you're close, and I pray that you would use everyday circumstances, good, bad, and everything in between, to help us fear less and faith more. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you'd like to talk, I'll be down at the front. Don't forget to use a connection card, either online on the app or personally in front of you in the seat back pocket, to communicate with us. Thanks for being here.